that you have for me, the things that you want to do in my life in this new year, the things you want to do in, through, and among my family. I pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom, that you would speak specifically and directly to us. We thank you for it, Lord. We pray it today in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. All right, we're jumping into a new series today called 365. And I'm so excited about teaching in January, preaching and just hearing what it is that God has for us. I really do love January. There is something new and all things are fresh, all things are clean, and it's a time when we are setting new goals. How many made some resolutions? Any resolution makers? I see a few hands. You made a few resolutions. You set a few goals, and I realize there are fewer hands than probably normal because it's almost become laughable to make resolutions, especially when like 92% of people abandon their resolution. They abandon their New Year's goal within mere weeks. I mean, within just a few weeks, they are done with whatever it is that they committed or promised that they were going to do. And I know our goals. I know our vision for the new year. It covers many fronts. You may have family goals. You may have health goals. You may have career goals or education goals. Maybe in 2019 you want to go from renting to owning, or maybe you want to start a family, or maybe you're trying to figure out retirement and what that looks like for you. All of those things are important, and I want to help you accomplish each of them. I want to equip you to accomplish each of them. But my primary role, my primary role and relationship in your life is to push you spiritually. That's my job. My job is to challenge you. My job is to equip you. My job is to lead you, to get you ready spiritually to accomplish the things that God has called us to accomplish in this new year. And I really want you to succeed in all of those areas. If you are succeeding in your career, if you are succeeding as a family, if you are winning in education, or if you are killing it in your health goals, if you're getting all of that done, if you are attaining and acquiring, or if you're making more than you've ever made, or building better than you have ever built, if you're doing all of that, but your spiritual life is struggling, then those other wins will not matter as much. If I'm doing all of those other things at the expense of my spirit life, then something is wrong. Something is wrong. And what is the problem? The problem is simply that the spiritual things often end up being last on our list. When we set the goals, when we write the vision, when we make it plain and say, this is what I want to do in the new year. This is what I want to achieve. This is what I want to accomplish. Often we fill in those first few blanks and the first few lines of the page with the things that we want to see happen, the things that we want to gather, the things that we want to achieve. But for some reason, the spiritual things just keep being pushed further and further down the list. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 16. He said, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What have I really gained if I make more money, but I had to work every Sunday in order to accomplish? What happens if I build a bigger house, but I don't ever want to leave it or touch my community or be in community with other people. What happens if I gain the whole world? And I realize there's always a balance because I need to be pushing and reaching and striving for better in all of these areas. But how do I keep it all balanced? How do I keep all of the plates spinning? How do I make sure that I've got everything within a right perspective and the things that need to be prioritized or are prioritized in my life? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own? So the entire chapter, Matthew 16, Jesus is trying to find out where he stands with these followers. He's asking them, who do they say that I am? And he hears their answers, their feedback. Okay, well, who do you say that I am? Let's make this really personal and let me find out where I stand with you. Because Jesus just being an option, or Jesus way down the list of our priorities, does not get us anywhere. And ultimately, if Jesus is not in his rightful place in our life, then we feel the struggle in every area of our lives. I don't imagine there's one person in this room who could testify, hey, I put Jesus on the back burner and my marriage went better. I put Jesus way down my list of priorities and my money just, it cooperated with everything that I needed it to do. No, that wouldn't be our testimony. We're here today because we've probably all tried Jesus on the back burner and that garnered us nothing. That accomplished nothing for us. We have to keep Jesus right where he belongs. And I'm going to take that a step further today. Take it a step further today and tell you that Sundays are not enough. Sundays are not enough. You're saying, wait a minute, Pastor Darrell, I'm barely making Sundays. I know I want to help you with it. I want to help all of this because I'm not trying to create guilt around this. It's just my job to challenge you. It's my job to push you and to equip you and to lead you. And I want to do all of that as we launch into this new year. But there are 52 Sundays in 2019. You're here today. You got the first one under your belt. You're doing a great job. I'm so proud of you. Literally, I hear you chuckling, but I'm serious. I'm glad you made it to the first Sunday of 2019. You just have 51 more to go. You can do this. I believe in you. You can do this. We have 52 Sundays in 2019, and we have 365 days in the year. That leaves us 313 other days. 313 other days to think, to live, to do whatever. And I would imagine that's probably exactly what it looks like. We think, we live, and we do whatever on those other 313 days. But these Sundays, I mean, Sundays are special. Sundays are special. I don't know if you could even hear me, Andretta, but I was hollering from over here in the front row when she set into that healing thing. I said, don't rush it. Don't rush it. Don't rush it. I know they just put the fried chicken out on the buffet. I know they just you know, got the mac and don't rush it. Why? Because there's something special about Sundays. There's something incredible about being in the presence of God. I feel it right now. Right now as I stand here talking to you, I've got chill bumps all over me. I just feel those doodads running up and down my spine. What is it? It's the presence. I'm serious. Y'all think I'm crazy. If this is your first time here today, I am a little crazy. But come back next Sunday and maybe we'll see if I have another gear of crazy. I love what I feel in this house. I'm not trying to rush out of here. I'm not trying to get done quick and fast and in a hurry. We're not going to belabor the point. We're not going to waste your time. But listen, I'm here. I got up and got dressed, put all of this thing together. I'm in the house of the Lord. I've come to get everything that the Lord has for me today. Because Sundays are special. And we're always going to work hard to make sure that Sundays are special. We want our Sundays to be incredible. Sometimes in the middle of the week, I'm thinking, you know what, I can't take anymore. I need some Sunday. I know it's only Tuesday. I know it's only Thursday, but I cannot wait for Sunday. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to see you. I want to do life with people of faith. I want to be in the house of God. Again, we're not trying to create guilt around that, because I know work schedules get crazy and we have some vacation that we work in throughout the year. But hear me, if Sunday is an optional thing in your life, if Sunday is just a, well, if we make it, we make it. And if we don't, we don't. No, I hope to help you with that in this new year. I hope to equip you with that. I hope to challenge you out of that way of thinking that Sunday is just an option, because I promise you, you are missing something. We have a lot of people that listen to our podcast, and many of you, if you miss, you're always so faithful. Hey, I listened to the podcast. I got caught up. But that's wonderful, and I'm thankful. I'm glad for everyone that listens to the podcast. But hear me, there is something that cannot be felt and grasped. There's something that is missed just listening through earbuds. Something about being in the house of the Lord. It's interesting, because we're working and trying to, you know, use every bit of technology that we can, and we've been a little slow. We've had requests. Why don't we put our services on Facebook Live? And you know, that's an incredible tool and it's awesome. And I'm not saying that we won't ever do that, but it's interesting that at the end of 2018, many of the mega churches in America are saying, you know what, we're no longer putting our services on Facebook Live, because we found out that so many of our people are just staying home. They're just remaining in their pajamas. They're just watching church online. And they're missing that come into the house of the Lord and greet one another and be with one another and rub shoulders with one another and walk around an altar and pick up envelopes and shake hands and hug necks. There is something so incredible about Sunday, and I don't want you to miss any of them. If you can be here, I want you to be here. But what if we could make our Sunday thing a daily thing? I mean, the series is called 365. What would happen if what I feel in this house on Sundays, I felt every day of the year? Let me work this out today. Matthew 6, Jesus is talking. And he's trying to answer this question from the disciples. How do we pray? And what's the best way? And what should our prayer be? What should we even say? And Jesus tells them in this manner, therefore, Matthew 6 and verse 9, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day. Well, today is Sunday, so there's a lot of bread around here. But do you know that there's bread on Monday as well? You know that on Tuesday, you've got daily bread on Tuesday, and daily bread on Wednesday, and daily bread on Thursday. He gives us bread every day. single day. He didn't say he had once a week bread for us. He didn't say it was just occasional bread. No, he said there was a day by day experience that is personal to each of us. 3, 6, 5. There's bread every single day. There's an experience with Jesus every single day. And I believe if we move from a 25 or 37 or 43 or even 52 Sundays a year mindset to a 365 days a year mindset, that it will be revolutionary to our spiritual well-being. If Jesus would become daily bread. Look at somebody and tell him he's talking about every single day. Every single day. Every single day. Oh man, Pastor Darrell, let me just keep this in the Sunday box. Let me just keep this in the Sunday box. You know, I got that section of my closet that is labeled Sunday. That's where them clothes hang. That's the only time I mess with those is on Sunday. That's where I keep Sunday. There's certain emotions I only have on Sunday. Certain things I do only on Sunday. Let me just keep Sunday in its box. What do you mean that we are going to do this daily? Called what is the bread anyway? You know, in Bible times, bread was a main staple. It still is in my life. I love me some bread. Bread with cheese, bread with oil, bread with balsamic. Maybe we can go eat a little Italian today. You feel that? I love bread. It's Lord help me. It's a filling substance. So they had bread with every meal in Bible times, and sometimes bread was the meal. You remember the wandering children of Israel, 40 years trying to figure out what they were doing and where they were going, and struggling, wrestling with the direction of the Lord. And finally they cry out, "We're hungry. What are we supposed to do? We're traveling from land to land and going distance. We can't set up a kitchen. I don't have my pots and pans are all in storage. And what are we supposed to do?" And so God answered their prayer, and literally every morning with the dew, manna fell, and they picked it up, and they had food for the day. It was their daily bread. It was manna. Manna. Manna means, what is it? That's literally what manna means, a question. What is it? And both Exodus and Numbers, who talk about manna, speak of them cooking it various ways and preparing it various ways, meaning they had to make the manna work for them. Some of them ground their manna up. Some of them did what you and I would equate to blending, adding this to it and that to it, and then mixing it all together. There were some that weren't crazy about the taste of the manna, so they added this little bit of seasoning and that little bit of seasoning, all of them getting creative to make the manna work for them, because not everyone fixed it the same way, because their taste buds were different, but everyone cooked from the same ingredient. Not everyone liked the same music, but they were all worshiping the same source. Not everyone liked it fixed the exact same way, but they were all working from the same source. I don't know if last Sunday you got some of the collard greens. Our missions garden produced collard greens. I've never eaten collard greens in my life until this last week. Country boy can survive. I've graduated from bacon. I've eaten some collard greens. I'm fastly becoming country. But we made collard greens, and they're beautiful. They're beautiful. They had them out last week. I know they've got a bunch more that are about to be ready, and hopefully you can get in on some of that. There's privileges to hanging around after church is over, just a few minutes when the good stuff comes. We save the best wine for last. You just got to stay for just a few moments. But we didn't know. My mother-in-law was here with us, and they really didn't have much experience with collard greens. So we start looking for recipes, and this one is telling us, well, they cook theirs this way, and this one's telling us they cook theirs that way. And people are saying, you know, just put a whole ham in there with it and just let it cook, you know. And I don't know. We did have some pepperoni. We cut up some pepperoni and put it in the collard greens. We literally did. Don't knock it till you tried it. I'm just telling you, some pepperoni collard greens, they lit. But we made these collard greens, and they're good. They're good. But what I learned in hearing about all of these different recipes is not everyone likes theirs fixed the same way. There were some people that cooked theirs for 15 hours. I heard one man tell me that he has to cook his outside because his wife will not allow him to cook collard greens inside. I'm just going to tell you, sir, you do not rule your house. Buckle your seatbelt till we get to the relationship series. I'll help you. Just kidding. I don't rule mine either. But all these different recipes, everyone had a different way of fixing and cooking their collard greens. But guess what? No matter all of the different and various ways to cook the collard greens, we were all starting with the same source. We were all working with the same main primary ingredient, the collard green. So can we talk about the source a little bit? I mean, manna means what is it? What is it for you? What is daily bread in your life? What moves you spiritually? What turns you toward godly things? Give us our daily bread. It's what we've got to work with, our daily bread. So imagine with me that you only have one ingredient to cook with every single day. That's all you got. One ingredient. And you got to find a way to fix it, make it. It sustain you and keep you and nourish you. But you've only got one ingredient. I mean, even if it's bacon, you're going to get tired of it. You're going to get weary of eating the same thing every single day. Because when you only have one ingredient, you have to get creative in how you prepare it. How you set it out on the table. If you only do church one way, if your spirituality is in a box and it can't be changed, If church happens this way and this way only, then you know that nothing else can change. This is what happened to the children of Israel that made God so mad at them. He literally was angry with them. They were complaining about their daily bread. They were frustrated with their daily bread. Hear me on this first Sunday of this new year. Our source is Jesus. Our bread is the Lord. And I guarantee you today that He's big enough, and He is complete enough, and He is full enough, that if you seek Him, you absolutely will find Him. Do you remember David in Psalm 34? He said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Magnify. It wasn't getting a magnifying glass and somehow making God bigger. It was just changing the perspective, because God is as big as He's ever going to be. We just view Him in small ways. God is as full and as grand and as great as he's ever going to be. But we just accept him in much smaller doses. And we try to fit a little bit of him in our small boxes that we open up once a week and say, all right, you can come out and do your thing in my life, but make sure you stay within this time frame. I want somebody to unleash the Lord in your life in 2019. And commit to learning more and seeing more and experiencing more of God than you ever have before. If I do this every single day, I mean, January, the first Sunday of 2019, right now, today sets the tone for what will happen throughout the year. Today, how I respond today, what I do today. I'm glad for any Sunday that you're here, and I hope to motivate you, to challenge you, to turn the occasional Sunday into every Sunday. But I want you to get beyond Sunday and start thinking in terms of day by day and realizing that you can have Jesus on Monday and you can have him on Tuesday and you can have him on Wednesday and you can walk with him on Thursday and you can experience him on Friday and Saturday. It doesn't have to just be Sunday. I realize that my daily bread will not look like Sunday. Probably not going to show up to work tomorrow and hug all my coworkers. I'm probably just going to say hello to them and not say praise the Lord to them. I realize that this daily thing probably will not look like it looks on Sunday. So what does my daily walk look like? Maybe it's in my communication. Maybe my daily bread looks like me choosing my words more carefully. Maybe it's in my reactions. Maybe it's controlling my temper or giving others a break. Maybe my daily bread looks like me being more patient. Or maybe it's in my time management. Maybe it's in my setting aside time for God first and foremost, and then making sure that my spouse gets the best and not what's left. Or that my kids aren't always vying for my attention because I'm focused on everything but them. Maybe my daily bread looks something like that because I can worship every day. And I may not have the worship team to lead me on Monday, but I'm going to tell you what, there's some pretty good music out there. They got radio stations. It's amazing what you can find. It's amazing what you can stream at your desk. It's amazing what you can fill your mind up with. It's amazing what you can do out there. You can find ways to fix this source and to cook this source and different recipes to make this work in your life. So today I hope to inspire you and to motivate you to want it, but you have to enjoy this as well. I want to put something practical in your hands. We're going to do that in this series and try to help you. Here's what Moses said in Psalm. David wrote so many of the Psalms, but there are a few sprinkled in that Moses, and this is what he said. There's wisdom in this, but he said, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our, count your days. You know what that means? That means you have to make every single day count. Because here's the reality. If we live by the year, then this one will fly by as fast as the last one. But if we live by the day and make sure that every day counts, then we're no longer living by time, but rather we are living by purpose. I'm going to say it again because I want you to grasp that. This shook me when I heard the Lord drop this in my spirit. I looked at my year ahead differently than maybe I looked at last year. If I live by the year, then this one will fly as fast as the last one. But if we live day by day and make sure that every single day counts, every single day matters, then we're no longer living by time, but we're living by purpose. So how do we do this? I think I just motivated you. I think I just inspired you. But now, how do we do this? How do we do it? How do we make it work? How do we make it happen? You know what? You make every day count by doing just a few things that are important. First of all, you put first things first. Put first things first. I dare you to write these down. I dare you to get these into your phone or get these into your Bible and then transfer them to post-it notes that you put on your dressing mirror, on your dashboard, someplace that you see them every day. Put first things first. What does that mean? It means that I have to decide what really matters to me. And you have to decide what really matters to you. Maybe it's God. Maybe it's marriage. Maybe it's family. If you're single today, I want it to be God in your life. And then how do I become the best me that someone else is going to appreciate when that time comes? How can I invest myself? What can I do to make a difference? All of us have extra stuff that clutters our mind. And generally, the clutter is what gets the best of our time. It's just a fact. Just human nature. Every one of us struggle with it. So what do you want to be the most important to you? What do you want to matter most in your life? You may not know how to do it, but you can decide today that you want this, this, and this to matter the most in your life. And then we can develop a plan and a strategy and a system for how we're going to make that happen in your life. But I have to put first things first. Secondly, I have to give focus and energy to the things that really matter. I have to. I've got to decide what matters to me. I have to decide what is really important to me. And then I have to give my entire focus and my energy to the things that really matter. That means there's a lot of stuff in my life and probably in your life that does not matter. It's not on your list of priorities. It's not things that you want to carry over into next week. So guess what? I ultimately either have to let those voices die. I have to deal with those habits. We're going to talk about habits during this series. I have to allow those things to be choked out of my life. That sounds violent, I know, but sometimes spiritual things are messy. Sometimes you have to break cycles and stop things that get the best of you. Sometimes there's cycles of anger that end up thwarting every good thing that's happening in our lives, and we have to deal with that. We have to allow that to die so that we can we can give our focus and energy to the things that really matter. Because the truth is, every single one of us, someone say that's me, every one of us expend way too much energy on things that won't matter at all in 5 years. Teaching good today, huh? Amen. What would happen if I give my energy? I decide what really matters. And here's the third thing. I got to put first things first. I got to give focus and energy to the things that really matter. And then guess what? I have to do it now. I have to do it now. It's not enough for me just to know I need to do it. Sometimes we feel so much relief in just admitting what needs to be done. Ooh, I need to clean this house. You know, they got those ovens. You push a button, it's a self-cleaning oven. Just push the button. And sometimes we want our lives to work that way. Just push a button, and this thing will clean itself up. But guess what? It doesn't. No. If you want to get clean, you got to pick up that bar of soap. You got to get that wash rag. You got to go into all kind of calisthenics trying to reach all the places that deserve your very best. I'm trying any word picture today I can get to make this point. I've got to do it now because there's no better time than today. What would make me wait? What is more important? What would cause me to stall? What would cause me to say, someday, you're teaching good, Pastor, and someday, one day, I got these notes. I'm putting them in a good spot. I'm not gonna forget where they are. I'll come back to them. I have to turn when into now. Turn someday into today. Second Corinthians 6:2. He said, I'm just going to tell you now. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Today, now. You know what else I have to do? I have to turn intentions into actions. Turn intentions into actions. James 4:17, if anyone knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, he said it's sin for them. Man, does that challenges me. If I know what the priority ought to be, if I know what ought to be first place in my life, if I don't do that, then that becomes a problem for me. So do it every single day. 3, 6, 5. Not just Sunday. Listen, if you're new around here and Sunday, come on. Just come. What would happen? I take what I have today and say, all right, I'm gonna put this same energy into Monday. I'm just going to do this. Give us this day our daily. I want to live for and love Jesus every day in 2019. Every day. And I get it. If you think about all 365 days, 359 as of today, if you think about all 365 days at once, you're going to get overwhelmed. That's what we do. We start living someday in March today. I'm graduating this year, so we start living May today. I'm going to retire at the end of this year. Congratulations. But you gotta live today. And if I live by here, I'm going to get overwhelmed. So I have to focus on today. And then I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to focus on Monday. Jesus said in one place, take no thought for tomorrow. Does that sound foreign to the way you and I live? You better believe it does. Because we're already, some of y'all, my father-in-law literally said on January the 3rd, he said, this year is flying by. It is the third day of the new year. Slow down, cowboy. It's the way we start thinking. I'm going to take this one day at a time. I'm going to live for the day. And when I get to the end of 2019, when I get to the end of its days, I have a feeling I'll look back and I'll be able to celebrate an amazing year. Because I focused on every single day. Would you bow your heads across the room today? Father, I pray today for people in this house that are hearing this first message of 2019. People not here today that are hearing on the podcast. I want them to hear this with the same anointing that we feel in this room. The same positive conviction that we feel in this room. I want to live for you every day this year. I don't want to just reserve you for Sunday or just hold you, to relegate you, box you to one day of my week. But I want to live for you every day. Every day. So I'm asking you to help me find that passion, find that purpose. Daily bread. Daily bread. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, there may be someone in this room on the first Sunday of this new year who would say, I want to begin this year saved. I want to begin this year right with God. Very simple to get yourself in right position with God. All you have to do is want that. Say yes to that. Desire that. If you're in this room today and you know things are not what they should be for you spiritually, then today is your opportunity to make a fresh start, to begin new. Just like we turn the page on the calendar, you can turn the page on your spiritual life. maybe there's all kinds of mess written on those preceding pages. Maybe there's stuff you're trying to black out and blot out and cover up and redact. You don't want anybody to know. But if you turn the page, there's something fresh and clean. And today is your day to turn that page. Pray this with me today if that's where you find yourself. We're all going to pray it today. It's not just you by yourself. But say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to love me. I want you to lead me. I want you to speak to me. Today, I give you my heart. Clean it. Wash it. Make it new. Forgive me of my sin. I accept your shed blood because it forgives me. Thank you for saving me, giving me the strength to walk it, to live it, to be who you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give every person praying that prayer?